Goalmate, Alvorens Football Forum, a Goalite original.
You're very welcome to episode 10 of Goalmouth, Alvorens Football Forum. This is a Goalout original podcast focused on all things football. Goalout is the home of Irish podcasts. The new Goalout app is available to download for free now in the App Store, and you'll find new episodes of Goalmouth every Tuesday at lunchtime, first on the Goalout app and all major podcast platforms. Patrick Murphy is back in studio.
How are we?
In flying form.
Yes,
how
sir.
Are you, Paddy?
As per.
Jet setting the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, life is good. A few more jets to set on. One going to Paris, which we'll get on to. Life's good,
Paddy. Life's good. And I'm joined, our special guest is someone who's very, very quite close to me. My brother, Stuart.
How are you guys?
How are you, Stu? You're
all right? Yep.
Stuart, you're a big Manchester United fan, like me.
I am, yep.
You got me into football at a very young age.
I did.
Yeah. And also, you hope you don't mind me saying this, Stuart, you were an actor.
I was.
Yeah, a very successful career as a young kid.
I was a child, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us what films you were in?
War of the Buttons, Into the West, Far and Away, amongst a few others.
Yeah. He did his audition for Far and Away. He did the Joker, the Jack Nicholson Joker. He wants to kill me right now. But listen, it's great to have you in, because myself and my brother, we're on the phone constantly, and all we talk about is football, and we never shut up. So I think he's the perfect guest to have in this week. I mean, this, especially with the way Man United are at the moment, we never shut up about how awful our club is. But yeah, it's great to have you in. How have you, I mean, I've heard what you've told me over the phone. How have you felt about this season so far?
Oh, it's a disgrace. They're an embarrassment. They're a joke. There's not many there that can actually hold their heads up and say they deserve to wear the jersey.
Yeah.
And I don't like the names in particular, but I am going to. Rashford in particular, his attitude stinks more than anybody else's. Pogba, anybody, Rashford's is number one culprit.
Yeah. You have
his
said
body
that.
Language is an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
For over 2 years now. But in particular this season, game in, game out, he's walking along the pitch. He's not gone out to play a game of football. He's gone out for an evening walk.
Yeah. Yes. And the proof was in the pudding in the Chelsea game on Thursday with Rashford. You looked at the older Cristiano Ronaldo. What is he, 13 years his senior? And he's the one who's tracking back. He's the one.
He's gone from the forward position out beyond the inside forward, who's Rashford on the left.
Yeah.
And he's gone back beyond him to track the fullback, the right fullback, Reece James.
Yeah.
Because Rashford can't be bothered.
Yeah.
You know?
We've been spoiled with success, you know, throughout the 90s and the 2000s. And it seems as if now is the time for Liverpool, Paddy. And you have been very vocal. Understandably so.
Mm.
I mean, listen, you know, it's a good time to be a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, we're just enjoying it, though. But I don't think Liverpool fans are not naive enough to think, you know, there will be an end eventually to this era we're having. But the most important thing now is to actually add the trophies that this team deserves to have had.
Yeah.
I think
in
any other era without Man City there, you're talking about, like, you're on for your third or fourth Premier League title. But listen, it is what it is. It's still been an unbelievable journey. But obviously this season right now, we have the chance to add everything. One more of everything. And Klopp's recently signed on, which everyone's buzzing about. But it also...
I'm not us.
Not Liverpool
us.
Fans, yeah. But I'm also hearing that Guardiola is going to sign on, and that was
so
one thing. That's one thing I was...
Great.
That's one thing I was hoping that wouldn't happen.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was hoping we get a free run at the leagues without Guardiola around. But listen,
it's
a good time. And I mean, this season right now, I don't think it will ever get better. You know, literally still on for the quadruple, the most advanced team the team's got in England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just got to enjoy it no matter what happens.
Well, if they do it, they'll deserve it to be England's greatest ever side. If they do it, they will.
Yeah.
No, there's no question about that. But you do the quadruple. Paddy even said it. I seen one of the videos you were on, and you said, there's literally no argument. You cannot argue with Liverpool fans ever. And it is the truth. It's horrible.
That's a fact.
It's a horrible fucking truth. But if that does happen, guys, there's nothing you can argue with Liverpool fans about. You can't. There's no comparisons.
No.
Yeah. But, listen, I hope we can do it, but I think we will win the Champions League and the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But I the Premier League, I just don't see City dropping a point, and it's going to be cruel to lose out in the league by a point again, with 94 points, I think it'll be. But I just don't see City dropping a point. I mean, I've come to the realisation in the last two games, watching them against Leeds, watching them against Brighton, I think, you know, wishful thinking, they think they may have got in, but they just don't have the many tough games, and any teams they're playing that are halfway tough, they're going to be on the beach.
It's the fact that there's a point in it again. It's absolutely
tricky games are, but have City got West Ham away?
Yeah.
But and Liverpool have Southampton away. They're the two really banana skins, potential banana skins.
We
do
have Spurs at home on the weekend.
At home, you beat them.
You beat Spurs. Spurs are playing
everybody you play.
Spurs are playing well at the moment, but they fold in those situations against top teams. And they'll probably fold against Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you reckon, really?
I think so.
One is a Z. Either team is likely to slip up there. I mean, one could absolutely destroy the other. Between Spurs and Arsenal, you don't know who has the better or the worse mentality.
Yes.
It's hard to tell.
If Liverpool do lose that league again by a point, it's going to be tough because it's happened before. But this time, I just can't stop thinking about that Everton handball. The handball against Everton.
Now, hang on, Paddy. I'm just going to... You have... I don't know, Stuart. You have a list of things.
Just say there wasn't a list, no.
Well, a list of things in your mind.
Oh, but there's various things for both teams. Both City can claim that Liverpool have had favourable treatment, and also Liverpool can claim it. And we can all go back to certain incidents. You know, like Mane probably shouldn't have stayed on the pitch the other day. Chiesa could have got a 3-game ban. Okay, you were 4-0 up against United, but Chiesa could have been missing for 3 games because of his tackle late on in that game. You know, there's both teams have benefited.
It's a thing of luck, Paddy. And I did say it to you. I did say, because when City went 2-0 up, you said, oh God, they're so lucky. This is unfair. But to say, like, it's the same thing with Liverpool.
They're not even that good. They're honestly not. They're not great to watch at all. They're such a Liverpool are such a Liverpool are so much better to watch than
City. Did you watch? They're both amazing to watch.
City are just, they're robots. I don't like it. It's not fun to watch.
The ticket, well, it's not really ticket. It's
robotic.
He's adapted it.
Hang on,
pep.
City were just involved in probably one of the best semi-finals I've ever seen in the Champions League against Real Madrid last week. And you're saying they're boring.
4-0 winners, not 4-3. It was only the brilliance of
and I'm just Real Madrid's individuals.
I know you're sick of City.
I refuse to ever give City anything. I just despise everything about them. They've ruined. I'm sick of them. Like, just leave Liverpool.
They've ruined you. Yeah, they've stopped you dominating.
They have, like, honestly.
It is, but because it's a case of there's always one team that just absolutely dominates. And United did it for years. Barca did it for years. And it's just Liverpool and City are those two kind of teams. Yeah. They're a United and a Barca of those eras. And they're just in the same league unfortunately. Yeah. And one has to win the trophies and one doesn't, you know.
I've seen other rival fans discrediting the likes of United 2008, that kind of side. But why would you discredit? Oh, they didn't really have competition.
Who said this?
Oh, a lot of fans on Twitter and that. But what I'm saying is, how can they discredit it when United of 2008 were competing against Champions League finals? Like, I'm going around that era, 2000 and say from 2005 up to 2012, when you had, well, you had Man United in the final three times, you had Liverpool in the final, you had Arsenal in the final around that era, you also had Chelsea in the finals twice around that whole time. And people go, well, Man United didn't have competitions or in the league. But a lot of these teams actually made it to Champions League finals around that era. So United did have competition and strong competition.
Yeah, and you could argue at that time as well, from around 2005, from when Liverpool won it in 2005 up to 2012, Chelsea winning it, the Premier League was the best league in the world, and then kind of Barca and Real took over again.
Say, unfortunately, we would have won more Champions Leagues only for Pep's Barcelona.
Yeah,
we would have. We would have.
Without a doubt.
That's probably the one thing about Ferguson's era that he kind of would have said was a letdown.
Yeah.
Only two Champions Leagues in that time, because he arguably should have won more, but again he probably would have had an extra two if it wasn't for Messi and Pep.
They were ridiculously good.
That was those
Liverpool team at that Barcelona.
Those two games we watched them, and they were the most soul destroying games I've ever watched. Well, the 2009 final was soul destroying because it was you just came to the realisation of how better Barcelona were than United.
And we went into that final as favourites that day.
Yeah, we did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. And we started, we had a blistering start for the first 10 minutes. I think Ronaldo had a good chance. And
Ronaldo scored, didn't he?
No, we didn't score. We lost 2-0 in that one.
Ronaldo had one cleared off.
No, it was in Stadio Olimpico.
Oh, that's the Messi header one.
Sorry. Ronaldo had one cleared off the line in the first minute.
Was, yeah.
That's what it was. We didn't score, yeah.
And then 2011, it was just acceptance.
Oh, I remember watching that. And I remember actually the barman started laughing at me. Oh, yeah, I knew at the time. Because he said, Stewie, the next day, he said, you were like a child. He said, you literally jumped up in a tantrum going, will you give me the ball back? Give us the ball back. I was just watching them. They're ping pong, ping.
I just think it's tough though, especially. I think the Champions League final is the pinnacle of football. People say the World Cup, but when you're not from a country that challenges it, when you're Irish, like the World, you know, it's not. I think the pinnacle of football is the Champions League, and the Champions League final is such
a occasion. Of course, it is.
Yeah.
I remember watching that Liverpool one with Karius, the Real Madrid one. Jeez, that was soul destroying watching that. Like throwing it away after the hard work, but. Yeah, listen. We'll get on to the Champions League stuff.
We will.
I agree with you about the Champions League thing.
Because, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. Because, say, a top international team could have 10 world-class players and then their left full plays in the third division. Whereas Champions League teams, well, they can accumulate the best players in the world and various teams can do the same and they're competing against each other at the very highest level. So it is the highest.
Absolutely.
The highest level of football. And I have without to say, a shadow of a doubt.
I thought the away goal rule, taking it away, would have actually done bad, but my God, has it been incredible.
It's been a revelation.
Yeah. It's been brilliant.
It's been brilliant.
That Real Madrid City game.
There's no air of caution anymore.
The teams are going for it. Entertaining. So moving on, obviously staying on the subject of the Champions League, we have the second legs between Liverpool and Villarreal on the Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah.
And then Madrid and Man City on the Wednesday. Yeah, I think Liverpool, another comfortable away win for Liverpool, very much like against Benfica, wasn't it?
Home.
Yeah.
It was in Anfield, but yeah, still.
And Real Madrid, Man City, this is a hard one to call. Man City 4-3 up, but I really think Real Madrid might just turn it on.
Same as that.
Yeah. Hopefully they didn't celebrate too much. Hopefully they're not too hung over from winning the La Liga. It'll be some game. I hope it lives up to. It won't live up to the first game. I don't think.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did.
Do you not
it
think
could be
so?
An absolute masterpiece again.
Yeah,
it really could. It's just like, I'll be honest with you, City will be disappointed that didn't end up 4-0.
Yeah,
it was just individual brilliance of Real Madrid that has them still in the toy. Because City wiped the floor with them.
Really. Yeah, they did.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's Real Madrid.
But that's the brilliance of
it's funny that Real Madrid attack is like a Lamborghini.
Oh,
you know, it's
unbelievable.
Between your man Rodrigo on the right, he's decent. Mm. Benzema and Vinicius, who's completely—he's turned his career around completely.
Yeah.
He's one of the top wingers in the world at the moment. What does Pep have to do now?
Yeah.
He has to win the Champions League without Lionel Messi and his team.
Well, obviously he has to do that, but how is he going to do that?
What does he
have to do now against Real Madrid in order to contain them and not let them get ahead of themselves?
Oh, sure. He might actually go for a former aggregate kind of a performance in a sense where, you know, the away goals will kind of come into play in a sense. Where, like, I'm shutting up shop here. You know, I'm going to fucking completely...
Could be tricky.
It could be tricky. He's not going to go for it. It's going to be... He's going to fucking rely on the likes of fucking Ruben Dias and Laporte to fucking get him through that game. To just lock Benzema.
That is a dangerous tactic. That's going to be...
It is dangerous.
I think they need to go for it. Yeah, they have to. Because the way I look at it is, on paper... The two teams, City are superior by far.
Yeah.
But on Champions League paper, Real Madrid have that aura.
They've 13.
You know, even if you take away their first and five kind of semi-fraudulent ones, they still dominate Champions League.
Semi-fraudulent ones.
Well, the Busby babes may have them.
And just, actually, Paddy, you were saying earlier about how Liverpool are really entertaining to watch, and you're absolutely right, but in the Champions League... Real Madrid have been
they are the kings.
Outstanding to watch this year.
They have
this year in particular,
like just in terms of, not in terms of the football they're playing, but just the sheer madness of every single one of their games.
Yeah.
Like it would be like they would, it would be incredible if they won, if they won it out. I've never, ever in my life wanted Real Madrid to win a Champions League.
I still don't.
Except for this year, just because of how entertaining they've been.
And you'd love to see it for Benzema, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
They have been extremely entertaining, that's true, but unfortunately everyone's little Real Madrid fetish will have to be stopped by Jurgen's tricky Reds. I think I want Real Madrid to win because I think
you don't want City in the final.
I think it'd be an easier game for Liverpool against Real. I say easier with bated breath. I prefer to play Real Madrid massively because
I City thought that as well.
No, but Real Madrid people have bottled it against Real Madrid.
They're shaky. Defensively they're PSG, very shaky.
PSG completely self-destructed.
Oh yeah.
And who was the second team?
Chelsea had them on their own.
And Chelsea just lost to bloody Everton. So I think Liverpool would get the job done against this Real team.
Always fancy. We do have history against
them
as
well.
But the wild card
in there is Karim Benzema.
He's magnificent.
Virgil van Dijk exists.
I think they've been there better. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If someone said to me, you can have either Virgil van Dijk matches or Canadi, I'm taking van Dijk. Mm. But this particular season, I said it to you a few months ago
about Van Dijk and Matip, and I did say Matip was better.
First half
Van
Dijk, yeah.
It's we're at the business point of the season, and Van Dijk and Mane in particular.
Yeah.
And I've said about Mane, he fucking turns it on.
I agree.
When needed.
When the goal gets struck, Mane has always done it.
And I'll have my hands up like on other things I've done, other shows I've done. I gave Mane a lot of slack. At the first part of the year because he was still playing on the left and he was playing poor. He really was. He was stinking it up on the left. But this through the middle now, playing as a false nine or a centre forward, he's been absolutely different gravy. And I think he has the most
sure goals. Listen, I hold my hands up. We as Man United fans say about a year and a half ago were saying Rashford was better than Mane. You know, that's it, you know. And he was. I thought at that point.
At one stage
it looked as if he was overtaking Mane.
I don't know what's happened this man. I don't know what's happened.
I've never seen a decline of a footballer.
He's not a footballer at the moment. He's just a bystander. I don't know why he's persistent. They're persistent with
I'm gonna be honest with you. Like sometimes I look and I get annoyed, and then sometimes I look at Rashford and I'm actually concerned for the chap. And I mean that seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should I be annoyed at him or concerned for him? I mean, there's something going on.
It's
there.
A strange dilemma.
But when you look at his face, he's sad looking. You know, I don't know.
I think obviously the work he's done off the pitch has been great, but there must be a point where that could be a distraction from
and you have to tread the line carefully when talking about that because he's doing lots of good off the pitch, but I think it's hard for behind closed doors Ten Hag will probably have to have a conversation with him about that.
Yeah, more it'll be like Rashford, go on, you can retire and focus on that, will you?
But he will. Like, you can't
at this moment.
No.
You know, because it's not a win-win situation for any manager that can come out and say, oh, well, listen, what he's doing off the pitch is great, but it's a massive distraction here. It just can't publicly be stated to the media.
I remember suspecting it at the time, but never thought it would actually happen. I was kind of, I wonder, will this be a distraction? And is it?
But what he's done is absolutely commendable. It's unbelievable. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
But do you know what might help as well? Is that this summer, it's going to be the first real summer without any of the kind of pandemic distractions and with no summer tournaments happening this summer as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there's no kind of fractures within all of the squads. Now, look, I know every squad has to deal with the summer tournaments and players not being available for some part of pre-season. Maybe with Ten Hag coming in and the full squad there, that could help Rashford reinvigorate himself.
It's kind of exciting time to be a United fan again because we finally feel it's not just like a change of a manager and a player here and there. We feel like for the first time in a long time, there's a complete reboot. Which I'm really looking forward to.
Just a quick one though. I could have sworn we were on the Champions League segment here. Not the Europa Conference League. This isn't the Champions League segment, no? Europa Conference League Varane.
Don't be rude, you. I laughed too when you say reboot because we just take the piss because how many fucking reboots has there been? No, maybe it is a proper one because
in terms
the resignation.
Of structurally.
The resignation of Matt Judge, Ed Woodward's departure.
Yeah.
It kind of signifies that this Ten Hag coming in.
It's a new era.
Yeah, it's a new era, and he'll be given more freedom from a structural standpoint, and that's what we've needed for such a long time.
That's the key. That's the key point. If he gets that, he could be
but
the man.
Here's the thing.
He needs to get the keys.
We've spent so much money. He needs but Ed keys, Woodward yeah. has been, he has he's the one who's been identifying targets. Ed Woodward, the banker.
Matt Judge
is the one who
he
negotiates.
Out on Haaland.
Yeah.
Bellingham. Well, these are all in the bag.
Thiago, by the way.
Thiago.
Thiago. We were in talks with Thiago.
What's happened there? What a player.
Thiago. He's so magnificent. I think I've seen a better maybe Suarez, but other than that, he's the most technically gifted footballer I've ever seen play for Liverpool.
There's a Liverpool fan that works with me, and I used to enjoy saying to him, look at Thiago. And he used to go, nah, he'll come good. I didn't believe him, but wow.
Well, we're on Ed Woodward. Can we not forget the very first time he kind of came to prominence when he had to leave a pre-season tour early to conduct very major transfer business that every single Man United fan thought was Cesc Fabregas coming? Do you not remember this?
Turned out to be Mario and Fellaini.
Yes, it was Fellaini.
It turned out to be Fellaini. Was it Fellaini it turned
Fellaini,
out to be?
Yeah.
27 million we paid for Fellaini.
And everyone and their mother and their dogs thought it was for Fabregas.
Fabregas or Herrera. We thought it was either Fabregas.
That's right, because we were late getting Herrera as well.
Yeah. Tony Kroos. Tony Kroos as well.
It was that same summer.
Yeah.
Tony Kroos.
Tony Kroos was closer to joining United that
than
summer.
Than he was to Madrid.
More so than Cesc Fabregas was as well.
Mm. Yeah, he was the big one all summer. Tony Kroos.
I remember that.
Fellaini was underrated though.
Fellaini, he did the job.
He put a shift in.
He did put a shift in. I could do
worse than him now.
I enjoyed Fellaini. He was, in a sense, an ugly footballer in terms of watching him. Very unorthodox. But he played the game in a very ugly way.
I was going to say, he wasn't too ugly a footballer for Everton. No, he was quite a good
player. He was. Yeah. Very nifty for Everton. And then United, he just kind of... I know Mourinho loved him. And Van Gaal loved him too.
Yeah.
He was a guy who actually just played for the badge warrior,
attitude.
Not another mercenary just there for a paycheck. Mm. Like,
no.
You know.
That's true, yeah. There is truth in that.
The two players at United that have good attitude are probably our two least talented footballers, say, alongside Wan-Bissaka. But Fred and McTominay, they will put a shift in, but Jesus Christ, they can't pass the ball.
I think Matic.
I think Fred's talented.
He's going to play 60
Jesus
minutes.
Christ,
I think Fred's talented with regards to that squad.
I never thought he'd, until Ragnar came in, Fred has shown bits of glimpses of quality that I didn't realise.
Yeah.
He'd,
and he does.
And he may or may not have.
That £54 million price tag.
Yeah,
Benzema for the Ballon d'Or. Yeah, give it to him now.
What about Liverpool and Chelsea? Are we saying they're looking through?
Benzema, Salah.
Oh, yeah.
Lewandowski. Liverpool, Salah, Lewandowski, Benzema.
Hang on, we're getting crisscrossed here between...
Yeah, look.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we skipped.
Look, I put that in there because I've been winding Al up about it for the last number of weeks.
What, Benzema?
Yeah.
Why?
I have it in every feckin' running order. Do you not notice that?
Oh, yeah, you do, actually. But he's the talk of the town every week.
He's brilliant.
Of course, like, I mean, he got the two goals against City, that Panenka penalty.
If Liverpool win the quadruple, it has to be a Liverpool player. I don't care who, but it has to be a
Liverpool
player.
Oh, yeah. It
Van
has
Dijk.
To be.
I think Van Dijk.
Salah. I think it's Van Dijk. No, not Salah.
Because of his second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think Van Dijk. I think it has to be a Liverpool player if Liverpool win the quadruple. And not just for the sake of it, but I think Van Dijk would
personally,
be
Personally, I'd give it to Salah. And I agree about the second half, but it'd be almost like he kind of deserves one just for his time at Liverpool.
Yeah. I agree. I'd love to see Salah win it, to be fair.
Yeah.
he did go through a bad patch, Salah.
I'm going to put one out there, and I've said this to you before, Al. Alisson.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
What do you think of that one?
Like, if Liverpool win the quadruple, I would give that to Alisson.
He's unbelievable. I mean, listen, there's so many good players that have performed to an elite level this year.
Mm.
Even Thiago would be a late show. He's a different caliber
of
human.
I agree, yeah.
He is just an absolute. That game against United, like as Gary Neville said, he took the piss. There's no words to describe how good he is. And people were always like, Thiago, he's the problem at Liverpool. I was like, oh, geez, like what are you on about? But yeah, no, listen, I don't know. I think it depends if we were to do the quad. I don't think we're going to do the quad now because I've said it. I think we are going to. Our City aren't going to drop points in the league, but we'll take a treble.
The issue with Thiago at the start, with Liverpool, was he just he just found it difficult to keep up with the physicality of the Premier League.
It was coming,
and
into,
eventually, and it's he sinked into.
And
it
he was coming into a he was coming into a turbulent side as well.
He was actually. Yeah,
you know, we were in disarray last
year. When he first came.
He had COVID as well. A lot of disruptions.
Thankfully
now, but listen, he does have a kind of a poor enough injury record. So once he just stays fit, we're laughing. Because that midfield, I personally think Liverpool's best midfield is NFT, we call it now, which is Naby, Fabinho and Thiago.
I'd agree with that 100%.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I would go with that midfield.
Yeah, Liverpool should be in the final. I think we'll make light work of Villarreal. I think 3-0 would have had it completely done, but a 2-0 lead, Villarreal aren't great.
That's over.
Villarreal are a team of Tottenham rejects, and everyone was everything was you know, Capoue, Lo Celso, Aurier, there's another fella in there somewhere.
Would they have made a difference if they had Moreno playing the other way?
He didn't get a chance, really, did he?
No, but what I'm saying is he's a bit of a handful.
He's a good striker.
Liverpool would have probably still wiped the floor, but he can be a handful, as we found out last season in that final.
He is a handful.
I still find that the funniest part. United fans are like, what an easy run Liverpool have had to the Champions League final. If you had a bet them in the Europa League final, United, you wouldn't play them. So
I just want to go back as well to just on the subject of Benzema.
Yeah, it is a good point. I never thought of that.
The pain in Al's face right now is actually hilarious. Oh my God.
I got to move on to Ralf Rangnick, lads. He's taken on the role of the Austrian. He's become the new manager of Austria. And he's also, as well as taken on the consultancy role at Man United. What's your thoughts on that, Stu?
I don't see it as much of a problem. What did he have? Internationals, October, November, March. That's the times of the season? Or is it September? September, November and March. They're away for 2 weeks each of that time during the season.
He doesn't strike me as a juggling man, though.
What I'm saying is I think you can really Google this because the international football during a season is not that much.
Yeah.
It's about 6 weeks throughout a whole season.
And I suppose the consultancy role is obviously a lot more laid back than the role he's in at
say,
this minute.
I think it'd be incredibly hands-on. Probably something where you can manage. It's a weird one, though. If United or if there's a good couple of Austrian lads coming through, it could put a word in for them. Do you know what I mean? Cheeky Arnautovic.
Arnautovic.
Alaba, maybe have a swan song at United.
Alaba,
could do a lot worse than David Alaba, to be fair. But it's a weird one. I think it's good to keep someone like Ralf around because he's done a lot of
It is good. He's done a lot of good.
He's called these out. Collectively more so than individually.
Exactly.
He's called all them out.
It's funny because the past managers have been slated for the performances on the pitch, slated for tactics. These fuckers just aren't following his tactics. And
he's actually selling it.
And he's just saying it. He's just telling the media out straight. Well, if things become good again at Manchester United in the next few years, the next decade, we will be calling Ralf Rangnick a martyr for exposing all of the shit behind the scenes.
He walked so we could run.
But because of Ralf Rangnick, I think Ten Hag has an easier job than he would have otherwise because Rangnick has basically turned the fans against these players. He literally has. Whereas we used to always blame our managers and this and the players need a different direction. But for the first time now we're looking at the players going, you're absolutely lazy. You know,
we
really are. So Ten Hag is coming in with the full backing of the fans against these players.
Yeah.
No managers had that position coming into Man United. And it appears from upstairs point of view, Ten Hag has a bit more power than anybody has since Fergie.
Yeah, he does.
In terms of transfer. So it is an exciting period as a Man United fan. In terms of, we don't know how it's going to end up.
It's
we've been excited before.
It's going to get a lot worse before it gets good, I think.
But he has time now.
Yeah.
Because of the
we have
season.
To be patient.
That's the thing, though. Yeah, like if Ten Hag comes in and United are shit for the first half, like what are you going to do? Sack him again? He needs just to be given time. He needs to be given time. And I think this man, he seems like a smart enough man to, he has, you know, probably dealt with all the cautions he may have been warned about United, and he will get the control he needs to actually make a difference here. Not to mention the knowledge of the Eredivisie he has. He'll be able to find some gems there. He'd go against the typical United thing of throwing massive money at a big player where they're coming in on big wages. It would never work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at young lads, Mazraouane. I think he's going to Ajax have a lot of players there. Timber, Gravenberg, if you can manage something there.
I think he's going to Bayern.
Really, as well as Mazraouane. Jesus.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. And obviously, Anthony. Rest in peace to Mino Raiola, by the way. I just wanted to say that. But the reason I mentioned that is he was his agent. Yeah. I'd love to know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
On the subject of Mino Raiola, I want to say I was very critical of Mino Raiola, and I did not like the way he dealt with clubs. I wasn't a fan of it. But, and I tweeted this out. He was brilliant with his clients. He was brilliant with his clients, and he made his clients feel important, and he made them feel like family. And for that, I'm very sad for his clients, obviously, because
his clients seem to love him.
They seem to love him
on Twitter.
You know?
And all of them were showing real love for him. Yeah. So listen, whatever people thought about him, rest in peace. And 54, absolute no age. So rest in peace.
It's thoughts are with his family, friends, and his clients as well. Listen. I am sick and tired of talking about United. We're recording. We record every Monday. This is just 2 hours and 45 minutes before the Brentford game. So hopefully the last home game is... We're playing this evening.
Last home game of the season. Last home game of the season, Paddy. Victory lap after the game.
Oh, brilliant. Well, you imagine after a Christian Eriksen masterclass.
Yeah. They don't deserve that. Thomas Frank, by the way, his comments were disgraceful back
Thomas
in January.
Frank annoys me.
What did he say? Oh, that he should have won.
Oh, they were absolutely terrible. They were really awful. Didn't.
Yeah.
He's very mismental, isn't he?
Destroyed them.
In the first half they were the better team, and then United actually bet them in the second half 3-1, and it ended.
I genuinely think Brentford will win tonight. I wouldn't be surprised.
I think the final home game of the season in 2019 was Cardiff. Do you remember?
The only thing is, it would be nice now, and I do agree with what Roy Keane said the other day. He said it was like a testimonial match the other day. He said the likes of Matt are coming on, Matt is coming on.
Yeah.
And it was. But at the same token, it's the last home game of the season. If they did come on, and just, I wouldn't begrudge the fans saying goodbye to Mata and Matic. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
They've been good servants.
Yeah. Mata especially. I think Mata has been one of our better players post Ferguson. Like, he was consistent.
God, he had the potential to be. He was so good at Chelsea.
Oh, he's unbelievable at Chelsea.
Yeah. A great baller. Yeah. Great
and
baller.
And you know,
he
would have been a super United player only for he went into that club at the wrong time. Yeah. Yeah. He actually, I'll be honest with you, United destroyed his career.
Yeah.
In terms of success. Yeah.
He could have went to the next level. He could have. One of the greats.
Yeah.
But listen.
I suppose we've spoken about the title race.
What's your opinion on it?
Yeah.
Stu, what do you think?
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I think both teams will win all their games. But, and I will say but, if one of them was to drop points, I'd fancy City to drop points.
Yeah,
Liverpool.
I do.
If one of them were to.
No, I hope so.
No, I know. But I do think both teams will win all their games.
So do I. Unfortunately, so do I. I just, yeah. Like, I was actually watching the City-Leeds game, and Leeds actually really, really troubled City at times when it was only 1-0 and they could have easily scored. They have nothing in the final third. My gut feeling, I was saying to Al before the show, this segment should be called Conceding the Quadruple, because I don't think Liverpool are going to win the quadruple, because I think City are just going to win.
And what's going on with Gabriel Jesus? He's like a demon at the moment.
He's been linked to Arsenal and realised
he's
way back in the flavour. Pep, please, don't make me go there, please. For the love of God.
That'd be Champions League. They could possibly have Champions League football next season.
He's
been playing brilliantly.
But they were saying it was almost like an experiment from Pep putting them up front for the last few games to see. And boy, God, he's...
And that was one of the things. I could not...
off the right a lot.
Oh, I couldn't understand why he played on the right against Liverpool. He was so selfish. He had two or three opportunities to play a cutback to De Bruyne in that game where De Bruyne could have slotted it in. By the way, Kevin De Bruyne, on the subject of City,
in the Champions League, maybe De Bruyne.
De Bruyne, yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
There's something different about De Bruyne at the business end of this
Gerard
season.
Gerard regen.
A what?
He's a Gerard regen. he's like a Gerard-esque player.
Okay.
What do you mean? Don't look so. That's not the highest compliment you can pay to someone.
In terms of technical ability, you'd have to say De Bruyne is on a higher standard.
They're very similar. I'd love De Bruyne, Jesus.
No, but on a technical ability.
And he supported Liverpool as a kid, the traitor.
Yeah. Sort of Solskjaer.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, Solskjaer, I remember Solskjaer scored that
Norwegian
goal.
Oh, Norwegian, to be fair. Like,
yeah.
There's big Liverpool love in
well,
Norway.
Well, it's actually in Norway, it's very similar to Ireland with regards to Premier League, like Liverpool and Man United. There's a big split, yeah.
So all
there's massive fan
up.
Clubs and everything over there.
All they would have grown up in the 80s when Liverpool were the top dog, 70s, 80s. So he would have been
Liverpool.
That
was United true and true.
And then he ended up hating Liverpool.
No, and it only came out after he scored the winner in the FA Cup 99. Last minute winner. He scored two injury time goals in that game. amongst other games that season.
Holy shit, he's done that in that game as well. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, I do agree with what you're saying there, Stu. I do think City would be the most likely to drop points. But it's a horrible situation anyway. As a Man United fan, both teams either winning the Premier League and either winning the Champions League. It's disgusting. But anyway, let's move on to the Premier League relegation battle.
really?
Everton with a vital win over Chelsea yesterday. Jordan Pickford turned into fucking Superman. Leeds losing 4-0 to Man City. Burnley still there. Burnley 34 points. No, that's games. Sorry, what am I on about?
34 points.
Yeah, they are on 34 points with 34 games played. Leeds 34 with 34 played. And Everton 33 played and 32 points. So they have a game in hand. Can Everton escape? How are we looking with the fixtures?
I mean, I think Everton are safe now. And I'll tell you why. They have Watford to play. They are going to beat Watford. They also have Brentford, and I do fancy them to beat Brentford. I reckon between the Watford and Brentford game, if they can get like 4 points, they're clear, and I think they will. I think it's going to be Leeds now going down. If you look at Leeds fixtures.
Yeah.
And the goal difference.
Yeah, and the goal difference. That was a big win for Everton. They have a game in hand as well, Everton on Leeds, and only 2 points behind. But if you go in there and look at Leeds
minus
fixtures.
Minus 34 goal difference with Leeds.
Leeds have horrific fixtures.
They've lost 6-0 to Liverpool.
Leeds have Chelsea next.
Yeah.
Brighton and Brentford. Oh, and Chelsea and Arsenal, sorry.
Ah, no, that's it. Yeah. And Man City. Oh no,
Brighton. Brighton, who are high flying. Brighton's midfield there of Mwepu, Caicedo, and Bissouma has been absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. They've really been playing some serious. I think Leeds are finished. I kind of like Jesse Marsh though. But I do think Leeds are gone, which is probably one good thing for United fans to get a laugh out of. Leeds going down, I think that's them finished. Everton have a handier kind of run in. They have Watford, Leicester, who aren't phenomenal. Brentford. They do have Palace. I think Everton are safe. I think
Leicester,
be Leeds.
Leicester have been so poor this season. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers.
Regards to like even relying on them to win games for teams to fucking open up in the top four race or the title race.
Yeah,
they're just useless.
By the way, shout out to Burnley.
Like, normally they're very good.
Probably. Burnley haven't lost since they sacked Sean Dyche.
I know. Yeah,
one win and three wins in a row. Mm. Mike Jackson. So I reckon they're safe.
Good one, Paddy. Yeah. As you say about Leeds, no, Paddy, I want them to stay up because it's a guaranteed 6 points every season.
For everybody.
Every time we play Leeds, it's great.
Do you know what?
I want guaranteed 6 points for our rivals as well.
To be fair, though, United bet Leeds first game of the season 4-0, and we're like, oh, yeah, we're winning the league.
5-1.
Was it 5-1?
Was it
5-1,
wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Ailing scored a cracker, didn't he?
Everyone was like, oh, we're going to win the league. Dallas. Pogba got four assists. And Pogba didn't get another assist until about December. So Leeds sell.
No, Newcastle.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Leeds sell United dreams, and I love that. Yeah, 5-1.
Pogba had seven assists by September. He had seven assists by September.
Stat pad.
If Pogba is the definition of
totally
what could have been.
Whoa, we're all crisscrossing here. We're on Pogba.
He's technically brilliant. He's...
On his day, merchant.
Consistency, decision making. I mean, like, there's Frankie de Jong and there's Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
I would just think de Jong's a better player. I don't think he's technically as good, but I think his passing's probably better. Like, as far as touch, his actual technical ability, strike of a ball isn't as good as Pogba.
And are you talking about, like, de Jong being...
He's a better player.
Being the potential replacement to Pogba?
It's hopefully.
Have you seen his wages? He's on about 500,000 or Barca or something. Obscene.
De Jong.
Yeah, oh, well, then he can stay.
He's on men. I heard about De Jong before, Liverpool even, but the wages he's on is absolutely insane.
Did you see my tweet last week just about Pogba? I got a lot of flack from the Pogba.
Oh, his last game.
The Pogba FC Brigade.
His last game, was it?
No. I tweeted out, I said, I honestly can sense the progression at the club when Paul Pogba leaves. The circus around him has been a severe hindrance on the club and the constant catering to his needs for him to be quote-unquote unlocked in that midfield. Don't come at me with your quote-unquote we failed him tripe either. I think the club will progress if Pogba leaves. We cannot pander to Pogba anymore. We have tried to make Pogba the core of that team since Wayne Rooney finished up. They have tried and they have failed so many times. Fred, Matic. It's all this bullshit about Pogba, about the club failing Pogba. It's fucking, it's horseshit and I cannot stand it. Pogba is a talented player. Hmm. No doubt about it. Ability-wise, when he turns it on, he's fucking unbelievable. You see him for France. But he doesn't do it. He's lazy. Off the ball, he is atrocious.
He needs a great team around him.
He needs a great team around. And Paddy, you agree. We're all in agreement here about Pogba. But I'm sick and tired of these apologists for Pogba that think he is the best thing since sliced bread. And there's Twitter fans, and they rile me up on Twitter because Bruno Fernandes makes one fucking mistake. One mistake. Oh, he's fucking shit. Fuck him. Pogba's a lot better. Pogba's this. Pogba's done that.
If Cavani, Martial, even in the early part of the season, Rashford and all were taking some of the chances Bruno Fernandes has created for them this season. Now I do agree Fernandes' performance have dropped way off.
I praise Bruno a lot and I love Bruno, but he's been a fucking disgrace the last few months.
He's showing me mad.
And his attitude on the pitch, he needs to kick that to the curb. Because when Ten Hag comes in, he will not take any of that shit. Whining at players, whining at referees for fucking fouls.
Some United fans to want him out after what he's already done. No,
Stu, they're not United fans. They're Pogba, Martial fans.
And Jose fans.
And Jose Mourinho fans. Yeah. That's what they are.
And they are United fans. They think they are, but they're not.
Yeah, 100%.
Because anybody that knows Man United and their traditions know that Jose was never going to be a fit for the club from the get-go.
Yeah.
He's not Man United.
Well, when Jose came in, Stu, I was excited. I remember saying, he might win us a league title, then fuck off. But that'll be great anyway. That was my thoughts with Mourinho. I was excited
because he was coming after Van Gaal. Yeah. You're going to be excited because that was a bad era.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was like 15 games and I think we drew 14?
That wasn't a bad era. That wasn't a bad era for me.
Ridiculous.
I'm being truthful, lads. Me personally, that wasn't a bad era for me. When Van Gaal was there, that impression fucking got me places. I can tell you that much. It was such a banter era for United, but it was just fun. And we didn't really drop points against the big teams. They didn't really batter us. We'd draw against the big teams or maybe lose 1-0 or beat them 1-0. It wasn't too bad. Although his second season where we fucking missed out on top four but won the FA Cup, that was a bit of a mixed season. The season before that, I remember we beat City 4-2 at Old Trafford. 2015 and we got top four and I thought we were going in the right direction.
Yeah, that was a brilliant performance. The best I've ever seen United in Anfield was actually under Van Gaal ever.
Manta hat-trick.
It was a double.
He scored a double, the bicycle kick.
Hat-trick.
It was 2. No, he didn't score a hat-trick.
Did he?
2-1.
No.
We went 2-0.
Maybe because he scored a bicycle, I have a hat-trick in my head for some reason.
Yeah,
and Gerrard got sent off.
Did he not score a hat-trick?
Yeah.
2-1. One matter and I know Liverpool got one.
Listen, it's all in the past. Liverpool play us for
fun.
They beat us.
Liverpool, 3-4-0
in second gear. All right, lads, just before we wrap up, I want to give a massive shout out to Katie Taylor this weekend. What an unbelievable victory in Madison Square Garden against Amanda Serrano. The first female boxing main event in Madison Square Garden, and there will be plenty more. She's an inspiration. She also played for Ireland as well. So she has a bit of that soccer in her, a lot of talent in her. But yeah, massive shout out to Katie. Hopefully we get a rematch in Croke Park and Jake Paul's a gobshite. On that note, that's all we have time for this week. This podcast was brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Whether you're looking for a laugh out loud comedy, a gripping true crime story, or some practical life advice, the Go Loud app is the place for you. Don't forget to like, rate and subscribe to the podcast. You'll find Goal Mouth first on the Go Loud app and all major podcast platforms too. I want to thank Paddy Murphy, our co-host. He's back in studio. Great to have him back in.
Pleasure.
And Stuart, thanks for coming in, bud.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. How did you feel doing the podcast?
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Is this your first ever podcast?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
I did, yeah.
It's different. It's yeah. It's like our phone calls when we're in the car. Absolutely, we talk about United for about 35 minutes on how we can fix United. We've had so many.
I've fixed them many times.
Oh, we've had so many solutions. Yeah, in Football Manager, he's fixed. He, by the way, he's a legend on Football Manager. Stop. Before we wrap up, can you tell us? I think he like won the Champions League 7 times or something with Coventry in the league 10 times, something like that. A Football Manager genius. But no, thanks for coming in, Stu. We really appreciate it, and your insight was fantastic, so thanks so much. And yeah, that's all we have time for this week, and I'll see you next week, folks. Thanks a mil.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.